Y'all like healing? I like healing. I love it. I like it when people are just broke, busted, and disgusted, and Jesus just comes and just transforms their life. Hallelujah. Y'all say your declaration already? All right. Declare it. Believe it. You are kings and queens in the kingdom of God. So we don't suggest things, we declare it. You speak it out. That's why confession in the word of God is so important. Hold fast to your profession of faith. It is so important in the body of Christ that you have to do this every single day, because God has entrusted this world to you. He's given it. Jesus says, take care of my sheep, protect them. We've been given that authority. Satan don't have that authority. His authority has been stripped away. We have it. The body of Christ, he gave it to every born again believers. That's on you. So you can't complain about stuff that goes on in this nation and it's like, you know what? Nobody's doing anything about it. No, you're supposed to be doing it. You're supposed to be praying against it. That statue in the East Coast and that Baphomet statue or what have you, that never should have been put up. Believers are being quiet. This isn't the time, any hour, for us to be quiet about anything. If you don't like politics, it's not about politics. It's about the kingdom of God. Come on. That wasn't even in my notes. Talking about servanthood today. But it's so important that you get that we get so focused on what God wants for us and what he wants for you, your family, and for this kingdom and for these children here on earth, that we have to speak it and declare it out and walk it out and live it out. We walk by faith and not by, see, they can say it, Chris. I was trying to get her to say it the other day. She had a shirt on. I said, we walk by faith. She wouldn't say it. Not by sight. Not by sight. If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. We're going to be starting in verse 25. You know what's good to serve in the body of Christ? It's good to serve one another. See, in the old covenant, one of the ways that people knew that they were wealthy is because not just all the animals and the cattle that they had, but because of all the servants that served and helped them along the way. If you had multiple servants, you're a wealthy individual. And even in today's time, we have people that are like assistants and armor bearers. I've never been an armor bearer for anyone. That doesn't mean I'm a servant. I just don't believe that I should be picking up somebody else's clothes and stuff like that. That's not armor bearer material. You know why? What good is you know, you're like the weapons valet off of Jumanji or something. That's not, I'm not an armor bearer like that. I'm supposed to be putting on my own armor. Okay. You're supposed to be putting on your own armor. We all suit up in Ephesians 6:10. Therefore, it tells us to put on the full armor of God. What good is it if I'm helping someone else put their armor on and then I'm just standing there, no armor? But we help one another. I can help you get yours on. Now you help me get mine on. We put on the full armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles and the schemes of the devil. In Matthew 20, 25, it says, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. A lot of ambitious people want to be leading. They want to lead other people. Very ambitious. You realize that selfish ambition is a lust of the flesh? That's one of those. Why? Because we're supposed to be serving. They have goals. They have dreams. They want to be the man over everyone else. And they will be the servant to all in the beginning. But their main goal is to control everyone else. Remember, a person who desires to have a position is not fit for that position. If you desire to be, David didn't desire to be king. He was a shepherd. If you desire to have a position and you're just seeking it and just, this is, If you just stay focused on God, God will remove those people out of the way so that a person such as yourself who has a true heart for him will be elevated to that. If we begin to exalt ourselves, he will humble us. But if we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will what? Exalt us. It is more about control and doing things your way so that you wouldn't have to answer to other people. One is control over others, and the other is living a life of faith and humility in order to help and serve other people. One is self-pleasing, and the other is pleasing to God. Remember, we don't have to go around pleasing other people because we would not truly be servants of Jesus Christ if we were trying to please other people. If you're pleasing other people, I guarantee you, you're passive in your faith. God doesn't want you to be passive in your faith because there's going to be some things that you say and do that is not going to go well with others. You have to do what God has called you to do. You have to say what God has given you to say. That's your responsibility. You're the mouthpiece for God. But if you're just always backing off, and then that means people can just roll all over you. And sometimes that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be passive in your faith. When he was out there tempting Jesus, Jesus didn't roll over. He went right back with the word. 312 gauge, just gave him the word. The enemy fled, went away from him. We're still wrestling with stuff because we're going back and forth, back and forth. Get the word, confess the word, and stand on it. Stand firm. There's so many scriptures that talks about standing firm. I'm not backing down from what society says, what other people may say. Yes, they may have a lot of knowledge on this, but this is a word that came from your heavenly Father. God took the time out to give you a word, and then you're going to go off of what so-and-so said over here. Uh-uh. Being a disciple, being a vessel for God is standing truth, standing with his word, staying with it, and not going back on his word. Because when we do that, we're being tossed to and fro. That's an unstable man. That's where the enemy wants you. He can't do anything to you, but he can get you to doubt what God's word says about you. Some people are looking for breakthrough. God has given them a word, and then someone else came and distracted them. God, where you at? I gave you my word. Stand firm. Stand firm, stand firm. Jesus demonstrated how to live a self-sacrifice life. The disciples didn't have that down yet. In verse 26, it says, "But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." From the start, it's not going to be what you think. The kingdom of God turns everything right side up. How the world does it, we're not supposed to do, in a sense, and how it comes to this servanthood. It's because everybody else wants to be a serve. Wants to be served. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. We come to serve. While I'm sitting in the church, I've been going to church for 10 years and I haven't really gotten anything out of it. Have you been serving? Well, no. There you go. Get to serving. Wherever you're going, wherever you're at, how can I help out? How can I pitch in? Because you have gifts. You have talents that God has given you to bless other people. How can I use that in order to help someone else? You all have it. And we're going to go through it in the Bible, in Romans chapter 12. But don't go there yet. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. Yeah, I started in this church 26 years ago. You know what I started doing? Got right up here preaching. I was on my knees, plugs and stuff like this, scrubbing the toilets. Whew! Flush, please. I was scrubbing the toilets, scrubbing the floors, wiping everything down, shoveling that rock that was out there, taking it down over to a pile on a wheelbarrow, just breaking my back. I was serving, and I did it with humility. I didn't complain. I was serving, fixing Q-sticks during 180, filling in on the drums, started doing worship here, started filling in on the drums. Then I became the worship leader. And then I was leading from the drums. And then I taught myself how to play piano and read chord charts, how to learn to transpose. Once David Wan ended up, you know, going home to be with the Lord, he did all that stuff. And I had to learn to do it. I'm not asking anyone to do anything that I myself haven't done. We're all called to serve. At some capacity in our life, we're called to serve. You want your kids at home pitching in, helping out. You're there to serve. How can I be a blessing to you? How can I be, Pastor, what can we do to get involved? And if you talk to Vicky, she'll tell you. Her new title is she's the recruiter. Because she can recruit like no other. But she wants to get everyone involved. How can I get involved? Jesus says, whoever wants to be your leader, trick everyone else into voting you in? No, he didn't say that. How about cause a lot of problems behind the scenes and use people to go against the leader and stuff like that and pretend that you're the leader's best friend so that when they quit, they promote you? That's not it either. That's a person who desires to be a leader. They're unfit because their heart was not in the right place. Yes, you have to remember God is the one who sets one up and he can also take down another. He doesn't need you to get out of character and have to pretend who you are just so that you can get what you want. All you have to do is serve and those things will just begin to open up. Those things just begin, I say, be willing to give. If generosity is one of your things, give. I like giving. I was given some gifts years ago. It was an Xbox my wife had given me for my birthday. Years ago, just earlier on in our marriage. We can barely afford stuff. I think for an anniversary or birthday or what have you, I was like, can we just give this to the church? Brand new. It was over a $300-some gift. But that was my heart to give. Because they can use it more so than I can. Give. I was at Gus Church one time. You know what? They didn't take up an offering. I was like, what? I had my stuff all ready right after service because surely everybody does their songs and then they have offering and then they have the message. And I was ready and I wrote down my stuff, got my check, book, and everything. I'm ready to give. And nobody came and took my offering. I didn't get upset. I didn't put it back. Well, they missed out. You know what? If I wouldn't have given, I would have missed out. We think we're hurting other people. We're hurting the churches by not giving. Guess what? You're robbing God when you don't give and when you have that opportunity because he would have blessed you. If I could have gave $20,000 this year to the church, but see, you missed out on the harvest of that, of what you would have given. I don't want to miss. And they have these little slots at the back of the church and stuff like that as you leave and you just dump it in. See, God sees that. He honors that when you honor him. That's a giving heart. And some of you have a heart of generosity. You can help. Some of you have that hospitality. You like entertaining people and bringing them in your homes and serving them in that capacity. Do it and do it faithfully. Do it with a good heart. You all have that. You have something on the inside of you that you can do in order to help more people in the body of Christ. In verse 27, it says, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. This requires humility to the max. To become someone else's slave, a servant, that's a choice that many choose to make. Now, I understand it's not doing the things that are harmful to you and to others. Any true man of God will not cause you to stumble. Any true man of God, Jesus lived a sinless life, and he never went out and made it out to be as if, he told the disciples, go out and sin. He told them, go out and preach the word. Anyone who is causing you to do something immorally wrong is not fit for their leadership position. You don't do that. I don't do that for anyone. I don't have anyone, and if I do, call me out on it. Pastor, I don't feel comfortable doing this. what? This immorally wrong thing. Call me out and call anyone else out who has you to do that, because we don't do that here. That's not what we're making disciples of Jesus Christ, not of Judas. Amen? Come on now. Sometimes you just got to buck the system. Buck the system. Come on. Why? Because we're supposed to be serving one another. We're supposed to be submitted to one another. We're supposed to love one another. That's a two-way street. Two-way. You all over here are supposed to be loving to all these people over here. And then here's the thing, vice versa. You're supposed to be loving as them. Not they're going to have to put up with what you do. And y'all got to walk in love and you can't say anything. And no, you're all believers. If you're believers, you're a believer. We love one another. Let our loves be without hypocrisy. The King James Version says that in Romans 12:9. Don't put that up yet. We have to be real about our love. We serve one another. We're submitted to one another. We love one another. Two-way street. Now, what if somebody gets out of character? Well, then you don't get out of character. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes God's got to check me on that. I'm not perfect in that. I know that blows your mind. I don't float on air. Come on, we love, we love, we love. Verse 28, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom. It's an attitude of the heart. To others, it may look weird and selfish, but God is looking at the heart of that individual. And here's a statement from Jesus that blows everyone out of the water. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He came to show us how Adam was supposed to do it in the beginning. When he had all that authority, Jesus came to fulfill it. He fulfilled the law. He did not come to be served. And if anyone who was worthy of that, the word of God made flesh, God living among his people, surely he's going to be sitting on his throne right there, and then everybody else is just going to be giving him gifts in every which way, and he doesn't have to lift a finger. He just tells one person to go, and then they go, and what have you. That's not what he did. He served people. And I'm talking about to a capacity that we all can't even keep up with collectively. That's how often he served. That's how often he humbled himself and became a servant. You know, he did so many miracles that if all the books would have been written about every one of those miracles, there wouldn't be enough room in this world to hold, to obtain it. That's how often he was doing. That was just in 3 years. That blows my mind. And we have a hard time greeting. No, I don't think anyone does. I don't think I want to serve in that capacity. I don't want to pull out chairs and stuff. We had a group of men this past Wednesday. We got rid of a lot of that. We finally cleaned out that garage. And I'm talking about heavy slates from a pool table. Those things were heavy. And these men did it without complaining. They did it, their hearts, so they got after it. I wish I had more stuff. they got after it, and they did it without complaining. Said, young people, we're going to have to step up. And I'm saying we because I'm young too, so I'm still young. There's no way we should be going through all the way from middle school to high school and not serve at any capacity in a church. We're called to serve. We're called to love. We're called to submit. We're called to do those things. Because they're not going to be able to do it all their life. We got to step up. We have to serve. We have to do it. We have to participate. We have to get involved, get in the game. You ever sat on a bench and wanted to get in the game and the coach wouldn't put you in? And it's just like, then you might go home and complain because you wanted to get in. I said, this is your opportunity to get in. This is your opportunity to participate. This is your opportunity to be able to be a servant for Jesus Christ and for the body of Christ and for Westview Church. It's your opportunity. I sat on the bench before. It's not fun. Got benched here in college. I was an all-state player in California. I got benched right here in the college. Great lesson. And I didn't even get to suit up. And it was against a crappy team. You know I would have got a lot of playing time in that. No, it was a humbling experience. And then the coach comes to me after the game and says, it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to it. So what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to get in the gym. I'm going to work harder. Life lesson. You can be down and out today, but how are you going to respond to it? I'm not serving at this capacity here. Well, I can serve over here. There's something that you can do. Always. Because it's not beneath us. If it's beneath us, then that means that we're better than Jesus. And he humbled himself and became a servant. We all need help in areas in our lives. That's why we need a community of like-minded people, like-hearted sons and daughters of God to help those in need. Your prayers matter to people. Maybe even more so in your homes. And the thing about it is that sometimes you could be rejected in your homes, but everybody else will covet your prayers. They'll want you to pray for them. But your own family may not even want you to pray for them. That's okay. Go help them. Go help where you need it. I don't want my mom and dad to pray over me. Just give me some medicine. Well, you're going to get this medicine, but here's the thing. I'm going to pray over you. Because I'm going to teach you how to be dependent more so on God and his promises rather than what the world has to offer. That's going to be recalled in 6 months. Okay. Am I lying? His word is true. Faithful to the end. But we'll teach them how to be more like the world than we will how to be a Christ-like son and daughter. Teach your children how to pray, man. Teach them how to pray boldly because you trust and believe in the word of God. My parents prayed over me. But at the same time, I would always fake sick because I didn't want to go to church because we went all the time. All the time. So I would fake like I was sick. So I'd get some cough medicine. Hated cough medicine. Robitussin is the worst. Yeah. That is straight out of the pit of hell. Amen. Amen. That is some nasty stuff. Yeah. But every time I would fake sick, there you go. It's going to teach you. Or, you know, come to church. The elders will pray over you. There was an answer for everything. I had excuse after excuse, but there was always an answer. I don't have any clothes to wear. Get your clothes lined out on Saturdays. Iron them. Every excuse I gave, my dad gave me a different one, gave me an answer for it, a solution. I'm thankful for that. Young people, you come up with some excuses. Parents, stick with it. Stick with it. It's okay to be hard on your kids for a little bit. Well, a lot. Stick with it because it's going to be better for them. It's going to be good for them. Don't back down. Hallelujah. Complainers. Remember, we talked about that in the Israelites in the wilderness. Complainers didn't enter the promised land. Complainers died off early than expected. Complainers didn't receive the fullness of what God had for them. Just like faith is a lifestyle, we walk by faith and not by sight. Servanthood is a lifestyle. It's not something we do, but it is a way that we live to be pleasing to God and to help those in need. You may not be able to do much in order to serve someone else, but I bet you can bake some cookies. And take them to your neighbor. Just might brighten up their day. How many of you got a rock that was on those tables out there? Ma'am, you made those rocks? Nice little. I still have my big one in my office. You could be reminded of that. You have a gift that will just brighten up somebody's day. That will just help them out. Because someone is always going through something and they need a touch from God. People get on motivators, but here's the thing, they're encouragers. That's what they do. That's what they're gifted to do. Because you need this, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there. You need a pick-me-up. And I'm not just talking about the energy drinks. Although we might guzzle it by the gallons. I like my Black Rifle. Servanthood. There was a time right before Jesus was going to be betrayed, and it was at the Last Supper when he took off his robe and wrapped a towel around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. He's serving. He didn't have to do that. He wanted to. He humbled himself. He was getting ready to die for mankind and be raised to life 3 days later. And here he is at the Last Supper with a towel around his waist, washing his disciples' dirty feet. What a humbling experience. He's the standard. I'm not the standard. No other leader here is the standard. The standard is Jesus. Because he blows everyone out the water. And if he was able to do it, we're able to do it. If he was able to serve, we're able to serve. If he was able to pray and heal people or what have you, we're able to do that. And here's the thing. Freely we have received, freely we give. The gospel is not for sale. We don't charge people to come in here. We don't charge people. If we were to take it on the streets, you don't charge people. If you were to take it in a stadium, you don't charge people. It's a free gift. Everyone has the right to listen to it. Everyone has a right to receive that salvation. It is not something we charge. Freely we have received, now freely give. I don't charge anyone for praying for people. I'd be rich. It's free. All it requires is your faith in God and a little bit of time. But if you know the word, it won't take much time at all. Because faith will always override time. That's for some. You have a note from the doctor, and the doctor said, hey, it's going to be about a year. God is saying, right now, in the name of Jesus, receive it right now. Whatever you're going through, receive his grace right now. That's not something that has to be done over time. We live by faith, not by sight. John 13 says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. That's so good. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. Our responsibility is to give God ourselves completely because of the new life that we now have in him. We have some people who are still debating that part. They're still basically uploading. They're buffering. You don't have to buffer. Because in Christ, you're already complete in him. When was the last time you washed your wife's feet? Your husband's feet? Let alone people. How about your teenager's feet? Wouldn't you like that, Brian? right after football practice. Not just wash your gear, but wash your feet. Because we know how smelly football gear can be. That's the worst. But it's hard work. It's sweat. But when was the last time you humbled yourself and just served? Without being asked, without being told, without being yelled at, without little hints being left here and there, right? Little notes here. Would be nice for you to pick up. But just served. I want to challenge you this week. Wash your spouse's feet. Wrap that towel around your waist and wash her feet. Men, do that for your wives. You're going to get a nice foot rub this week, ladies. And I will expect cookies on my desk. This wash your wife's feet. I haven't done it in a while, but I would wash her feet at times. And she's washed mine when I was going through all that stuff. And I hate people touching my feet. I don't like my feet being rubbed at all. Don't touch it. I didn't like it when I had my ordination, when they were touching my feet. But it's a good thing for you to humble yourself and remember what Jesus had done for his disciples. And this is the wife of your children. As Christ loves the church, we're supposed to love our wives. Wash her feet this week and do it with a smile on your face. And just let her know and give her her favorite snack. If she likes ice cream, hook her up. She wants some sunflower seeds and she's just hook her up, whatever it is. Get her a snowball, whatever her favorite snack is. Rub her feet, wash them this week. And humble yourself before God. And in due season, he will exalt you. You're set an example for your children when you do that. That's a beautiful thing. Don't say anything else. Hey, just go get the tub. Go get a little thing. We have these tin buckets that we got from Sandy years ago. I have a North Carolina one. She has a Jayhawk one. And we'll fill it up with water. Put some diffusers in or whatever it is. Just soap or what have you. I'll just use Dawn soap or something. Scrub away. Wash. Massage. Get in between the toes. Give them high fives. And wash your feet. Without complaining. Without saying anything. And just look at the smile on her face. That's humility. It's honoring God and honoring your wife. Humility. Jesus humbled himself and became a servant. The greatest example we have is him. The greatest example your kids have in their home is you. Love on her. Wash your feet. What's the last scripture we have? Romans 12. Actually, we have Psalms 2:1. 2:11 says this. If you can go there, I'll hit these up real quick. It says, serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. See, serving the Lord with a joyful heart and reverent awe towards him is what is required of us rather than the alternative. Man, We got nursery again today. I'm not changing any diapers. No. Rejoice when you come in. I get to serve today. I get to greet today. I get to run the easy worship today. I get to get up here and sing and shout and give glory to God. I get to do this. This is an awesome privilege that we have. I get to do this rather than, I don't want to do this anymore. No one ever said that it wasn't going to be an easy life that honors God and to serve one another. But most of the time we think like we have to think when we get into a restaurant, we get there, we sit down and we order, the waiter or waitress comes and takes our order and then we eat and then we leave a tip. You know, we pay the bill and we leave a tip and you leave a tip. Bless them. They're on their feet all day long. Bless them. Leave a tip. Leave a good tip. And then you leave. And people, we do this in church at times. We're here to serve you, but you're also here to serve one another. Because serving will cost you something. But we all have to do it with humility. Serving other people is demonstrating God's love towards others. And if we have an ego, one of the best ways to get over that is serve someone else. Go do something. Be led by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh, and go serve someone else. If you need your ego in check, go serve someone else. Go help somebody. Because it'll humble you. Go to Good Sam's. Go spend some time with the elderly. I guarantee you, you'll put a smile on their face if they allow you to go in there. We did that as a youth group years ago. They were ecstatic that we went there. Some of the girls were painting nails on them and stuff and just having playing cards with them and everything. And we did worship with them. You serve. Romans 12:1, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What good is having his word given to us daily when we're not allowing it to transform our lives? Allow God's word to transform you. The behaviors and customs of this world is fake. Everybody's fake out there in the world. They're just fake. They're just faking it to make it. You don't have to be fake in the body of Christ. They fake it. Used to watch MTV Cribs way back in the day. Those weren't even their homes. They were just renting them out. Lifestyle of the rich and famous. You don't have to fake it in the body of Christ. Transformation because of salvation is what true believers go through. In verse 3, it says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. We do not own each other. We don't dominate one another. You're not even competing against other churches. Satan has the biggest church out there in the world. And yet he's got us trying to compete against other churches. No, I'm for other churches. We kick the snot out of the enemy and we continue to walk in victory because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. This is for the body of Christ. Verse 6, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility serious. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We all have different types of gifts. Love each other with genuine affection. Verse 9 says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. We have a responsibility as the body of Christ to do the works of God together. The great clouds of witnesses are watching as we run our race. We're not on the sideline watching. We're actually running the race. Some people just run it at their own pace, speed walking. Some are just full out running. But we're never on the sidelines. Everyone is running their race. If you're here on this earth, you are running your race. And those clouds of witnesses who already ran their race and finished, they're watching you and they're cheering you on. And they're saying, let that weight go. You don't have to carry that anymore. Why? You're going to be able to run faster. You're going to be more determined. Can you imagine running with a ball and chain on your leg and stuff, just trying to get through life? No. Jesus cut that off. We don't have to go and put it on us anymore. He's healed us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to put that weight on you anymore. Get rid of it. Get rid of the stank attitude. I don't want to serve. Everyone gets to serve. You all get to serve. In the body of Christ, you all get to serve. You're like Oprah, serving for you and for you. And you all get to serve in the body of Christ. She needs Jesus too, so don't get it twisted. Serving is not beneath you. It's part of your DNA. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for your written word. We thank you, Lord, that we are servants, we are slaves to you, and we are servants to one another. As your word says, to love one another, we're submitted to one another. Lord, help us to do that faithfully. Help us to be that faithful servant. So when it's all said and done, we will all hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And Lord, and I thank you for the hearts that are here. I thank you for these young people who are getting ready to enter into another school year. Lord, I pray for them and I pray for the teachers that are teaching them. Keep them safe, Father God. Protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger. And we thank you for the impact that they're going to be able to make in their classrooms and in that school. A school that needs revival so bad, that needs you, Lord. I thank you. We pray for every church in this city that is involved. We thank you for it. Revival is here. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's stand. Before you leave, tell somebody, make sure you wash your feet this week. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. We got a back to school bath, so we won't do a service, but it'll be a bath. So we're going to come and have fun, have some watermelon for you and everything. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.